We're turning to the Psalm 22. We're going to read the three Psalms together, 22, 23, and 24. They are tremendous words, and we're going to read them together this morning, please. Psalm 22, beginning to read at the verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out their lip, they shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare at me, stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to deliver me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised, but abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my voice before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it on the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Selah. We know that God will bless this reading from his own precious word today. We're coming this morning to this Psalm 23. It's perhaps the best loved of all the Psalms of David. The Psalm has been a comfort and it has been a tremendous help and encouragement to the saints of God in days gone past. Certainly it is the best known of all the Psalms. But it's not just a psalm for funerals, and it is sung in most funeral services or read in the house or read at the bedside of those that are about to pass away. But it's a psalm, I believe, for the living. And what comfort it has provided for the saints of God down through the years. And you and I are living in tremendous days. We're living in days when there is a tremendous attack upon God's word and upon those of us that are God's children. And we see it week by week, and we see the change that takes place overnight and what is happening in the Middle East and all the Muslims that are coming in from there into Europe, and we can see the change that is happening. I'm going to read you out just some facts. There's a book published by the Metropolitan Tabernacle by one of the pastors, Muhammad, and I picked out some of the things in it because it's interesting. Britain in 1945 had one mosque. Today there are 2 million Muslims and 1,000 mosques. There's more Muslims in Britain today than Roman Catholics. 10,000 churches closed since 1960. By 2020, another 4,000 is expected to close. They expect 1,700 mosques to open in the same timescale. The building that housed the church that sent William Carey to India as a missionary is now a mosque. Australia had 800 Muslims in 1955, and now there's over 500,000. France has millions of Muslims and 2,000 mosques. Germany has 4 million Muslims and 2,000 mosques. The seven churches in the book of Revelation that's mentioned, the cities that they were in, are now all controlled under Islamic control. Now, that's just a few things picked out of the book that he had researched, and it shows you that there is a tremendous influx of those who are against the Word of God and against you and I who are standing for the Word of God. Of course, life is not easy, and we come to this psalm because I believe it is a psalm that can bring comfort to us. Yes, it brings comfort to those who are about to pass from this scene of time into God's eternity. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There is no doubt that death is the thing most feared by mankind. And as we walk through life, many are the trials and heartaches and the sorrows, the fears and the despair that grips the soul in its journey of life. And although, as we have said, it's read at both deathbeds and funerals as a comfort, it can really only bring comfort to those that are the saved of the Lord. This message is only for the saved of the Lord. If you're not saved in the church this morning, the only message this psalm has for you is very simply, you are not in the fold, and therefore you are not under the protection of the loving guidance of the shepherd. You are on the journey of life alone. And if you die, you will end up in a lost sinner's hell forever. Before you can apply the message of the psalm to your heart, you must get to know the shepherd personally. The Lord Jesus as your Savior and Lord. You must know Jesus as Savior before you know him as shepherd. The Bible says of death in 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Paul, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, describes death as the last enemy. Death is an enemy as it seeks to destroy the soul of man into hell forever. Up until the time, man can basically do as he or she pleases. And then suddenly they are face to face with something that they cannot control or have any say over. And the fear of the unknown and what lies beyond the grave is most fearful. Apart from the grace of God, no man could actually cope. And those that are not saved, they get that common grace. Good, upright church members, good citizens, but not saved, blinded by the devil, even at the point of death, going out into God's eternity, and still blinded, and ending up in a lost sinner's hell. There is, of course, also how we die suddenly, or prolonged ill health and untold suffering that, physically speaking, brings a sense of relief for the loved ones that are watching by the sickbed. And life is not easy. And that death comes as a result of the fall, when man sinned in the Garden of Eden, when Eve listened to the lie of the devil. And you know, today, men and women are still listening to the lie of the devil, and they are being told, forget about what God says. Forget that God says that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Sure, you can get to heaven by being a good person. Sure, you can get to heaven by being a good church person. Sure, you can get to heaven by being a good husband or a good wife or a good son or a good daughter. But of course, the Bible tells us that that is the lie of the devil. And Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Psalm 22, 23, and 24 shows us three aspects of the Christian faith. To understand Psalm 23, we must understand 22 and 24. 22, of course, is the Psalm of the cross. Psalm 23 is the Psalm of the crook. And Psalm 24 is the Psalm of the crown. Psalm 22, the Psalm of the cross, the Lord Jesus as Savior. And the Lord Jesus, when he was on the cross, quoted from this Psalm. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And as the psalm unfolded, we get a picture of the death of Jesus on the cross. And as we read that psalm together, there were verses there that had no doubt point forward to the death of Christ. Verse 16, the dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare at me. They part my garments among them and cast lots for my vesture. As we read Psalm 22 today, we look back to the time past. The time of provision of salvation, the substitution for our sins, the time of the display of the grace of God to sinners, the time of the shedding of the Savior's blood, the picture of the grace and mercy of God that so many of us in this church have experienced this morning. Truly, it is the psalm of salvation from sin. And Psalm 24 that we read is the psalm of glory. The Lord Jesus Christ is sovereign, and it lifts the heart of the child of God forward to a time when Jesus will rule in righteousness. King of kings, Lord of lords. In verse 8, who is this King of kings? Who is this Lord of lords? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Thank God the saints of God can look forward to the 1,000-year reign of Christ, yea, even beyond to the new heaven and to the new earth, and the glory of the presence of the King of kings forever. The psalm of the crown and the glory and the sovereign reigning forever. And you know this morning, if you're saved by God's grace, any burden that you and I have to carry down here, is it not worth carrying when we have such a wonderful future before us? Yes, we have the struggles of life, but there's a day coming when that will all be past. But in between 22 and 24, we have Psalm 23, the shepherd's psalm, the psalm of the crook. A psalm that describes the experience of the Christian from the moment of salvation in Psalm 22 until we enter the glory of heaven in Psalm 24. Psalm 23 is a psalm of guidance for the Christian, for you and I that are saved. It's a psalm of protection. It's a psalm of the shepherd that is in control of the Christian. It's for today. Let us look into this psalm just for a short time and encourage our hearts as the saved of the Lord and all the blessings that are ours today. If you're not saved this morning, as you see the blessings unfold, I trust that your heart will yearn to be in the fold. You see, first of all, David knew the shepherd personally. In verse 1, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." David had confidence in the fact that the Lord was his personal shepherd. David knew that he knew God. In 1 Samuel 16:13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. He knew the shepherd because of what the shepherd had done for him. He was called of God. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Verse 14, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." What a tremendous privilege to know the good shepherd and to be known by the good shepherd. We who are saved have been purchased at the greatest price. The Lord Jesus suffering and dying on our behalf. And you know, this morning, whenever we realize what Christ did for us and leaving heaven's glory and coming down into this sin-cursed world, walking a perfect life on our behalf, something you and I could never do, going to the cross of Calvary and bearing the judgment of God for your sin and for my sin, we should always remember what it cost the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. David knew the good shepherd through the death of the cross on Calvary, looking forward to the cross work of Christ. David knew the great shepherd through the resurrection. In Hebrews 13:20, now the God of peace that brought again the dead from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. You see, David had the marks of the shepherd that distinguished the sheep of the Lord. There was the mark on the ear. Of course, Europe and its control of farming, there was tags put on the ears before they ever discovered it. The mark on the ear, my sheep hear my voice. And thank God, everyone that is saved by God's grace has heard the voice of Jesus coming to them and calling them, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But then there's the mark on the feet, and they follow me. Have you the two marks on you now? In John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know, there's so many today that can talk the talk, but we must walk the walk and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow me. Are you walking the walk this morning? David not only knew the good shepherd through the death of the cross, the great shepherd through the resurrection, but he knew the chief shepherd, glory, as he realized that death meant glory. And 1 Peter 5, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. David knew the chief shepherd who was one day coming to take the saints of God to glory. Now, do you know all those that have died in Christ Jesus today are in heaven? They're with Christ, which is far better. And they're there for all eternity in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a tremendous thing it is when you visit a graveyard of those that have gone before, and you see their names on the headstones, and you realize that they were saved by God's grace, and you can know that they're far better off today than what you and I are here. Their troubles of life has been over, and they are enjoying the presence of the Lord. But the second part of verse 1 says, I shall not want. Because of what David experienced of the grace and the mercy and the love of the Lord, and the fact that he was led by the shepherd, he could have the assurance that he would not want. As well as being led by the shepherd, following hard behind David was goodness and mercy. And the verse 6 tells us, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, an old preacher one time used the illustration. He had been brought up as a shepherd, and he said he had two sheepdogs, and he called them one goodness and the other mercy. And when David's foot would slip and he would wander like two sheepdogs, goodness and mercy would follow him all the days of his life, restoring and renewing fellowship with his God. Even during the days of trial and the days of heavy burden, the days of sickness, the days of trouble, the days of sorrow, the days of problem, the days of despair, not knowing where to turn. The shepherd is always at hand to comfort. Goodness and mercy are always available to God's children. And you know, that is something that you and I should always remember, that as the children of the Lord, we're not alone. We have the shepherd with us. And it is the goodness of God, and it is the mercy of God that goes with us. But you know, in between the first and last verses, we have displayed the wonderful provision of the Lord. Let us look through verses 2 to 6 and see what the psalmist would not want. In verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I shall not want rest. Pastures of tender grass. Now, I'm told that sheep will only lie down on good pastures. They won't lie down on a rough ground. And you know, we as God's children, he gives us rest in the midst of the storm. We can come to him when the storms of life are blowing, and we can find rest in him. He said, cast your burden upon the Lord and leave it there. The pastures of tender grass. I shall not want refreshment. The sheep were well fed on the tender grass, and they were watered, and they were content. Now again, I'm told by someone in sheep that the sheep will not drink from running water, that they want the water to be calm. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. As sheep of the fold, Jesus leads us to rest and to refreshment. We have to face the problems of life. We can't get away from that. Whether we're saved or whether we're not, the problems will come to us. But thank God we have a shepherd, and he leads us. And he said, I shall not want rest, I shall not want refreshment. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. I shall not want preservation. When cast down, Jesus lifts us up. And you know, David knew what he was talking about. David had sinned, he had committed adultery, he had committed murder, and yet upon confession he was restored in Psalm 51. We have there his prayer, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, renew a right spirit within me. But you know the biggest problem today with Christians, they won't admit that they are wrong. Always blame somebody else. Like a man said to me one time, he said, you know, I committed adultery. But he says, it wasn't me, it was the devil. I said, you're talking nonsense. He says, what do you mean? I said, the devil tempted you. But you succumbed to the temptation and you committed the adultery, and you will never be forgiven until you confess it to the Lord. And when you do, like David of old, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. He was forgiven his adultery. He was forgiven his murder. It was on confession, and he was restored. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He gives us guidance. I shall not want guidance. The Holy Spirit leads us each moment of the day through the Word of God, as revealed in the Bible. May we always obey the leading of God, the Holy Spirit, and have a conscience geared to heaven. You know, sometimes we don't know what to do. And we come to the end, and we have a problem, and we can't know. We take it to the Lord and he gives us guidance in his word. Sometimes, you know, if you read the Bible every day, sometimes there's a wee verse of scripture will stand out. And you don't know why it's standing out. But maybe before the week's out or the month's out, something happens in your life. And the Lord brings that wee verse back to your remembrance. And there the Lord has given you already guidance beforehand. You see, our God is a wonderful God. He's a wonderful shepherd. He knows what we need before we ever ask him. And what a tremendous thing to be led by God the Holy Spirit and have a conscience geared to heaven. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In other words, I shall not want peace and companionship. In life or death, the shepherd is always with us. Let us leave our burdens with the great shepherd. I shall not want comfort. We as the saved of the Lord need the comfort of the shepherd, as this world is not a very pleasant place to live in. Death is but a shadow, we're told. And if death is a shadow, the light and glory of God brings his children home to glory. You know, the shadow of a dog will not do you any harm. And I discovered that round doors. You went into a yard and there was a dog. And you were scared to get out of the car. But you know, as long as there was only the shadow of the dog, it never done you any harm. But the Lord still protected you. I remember one day up in County Armagh, got out in this big farmyard. And I went over to the door. There wasn't any sign of life anywhere. And I just put the invitation through the door when these two paws landed on my shoulder and there was a big Alsatian. And I looked round and his head was against mine. Well, you know, I hadn't a fear in my body. I was past the stage of fear. And I got turned round and he got down and he jumped up and he pawed and he never barked. And I went back the few steps to the car and I got the door open. I got into the car and I could hardly put the clutch in. I was that feared then. But you know, the dog didn't touch me. I went down to an elder's house of the church where they were doing the mission, and his father was there, and he said, I wouldn't even walk past the bottom of that lane with that dog. It's an awful thing. But the Lord protects. But the shadow of a dog will never do you any harm. But my dear friend, the shadow of the valley of death, it's only a shadow, because the Lord takes us through. Yes, nobody likes to think of dying. It's not pleasant. And we're human. And then in verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I shall not want food. Spiritual food. Or daily bread as well. I shall not want joy. Multitudes of blessing of our God. Salvation from sin and judgment must bring joy and thanksgiving every day we live on this old earth of ours. Christian, don't be sad. Don't have a cast down look all the time. Smile. It's good for you. You don't have to go to the chemist to get them to keep the wrinkles away if you keep smiling, they tell you. I don't know whether that's right or not. But you'll get the wrinkles anyway when the age goes on, so you needn't worry about it. But you know, as children of the Lord, we need to show to those around us that we have something worth living for. That our sins are gone. Past, present, and future. Gone forever. That we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have a shepherd who looks after us every day. And we have the home prepared for us in glory. Should we not have a smile on our face? Should we not have the joy of the Lord in our heart in the midst of all the problems of life? I shall not want joy. And verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. the home prepared for the child of God. I shall not want happiness in life or in death. To look at each of these blessings would take weeks. How often we take our salvation so lightly. How often we are so lax in our walk as we follow the shepherd. Reading the Bible and prayer should be our priority, not as a duty, but out of love and thanksgiving for all the Lord hath done for us. David will do all he can, the devil will do all he can to keep us from the Bible and from prayer. How our souls should rejoice and praise the Lord. If you're saved this morning, you're saved for time and for eternity. Backslider, are you longing to return to your first love? Then take Psalm 51, David's Psalm, and get on your knees before God and cry it unto God. And God will do for you what he did for David. He will restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten. David's prayer for forgiveness and for repentance, God answered. And David could come in this psalm and he could pen these words under the anointing of the Holy Ghost that gives a tremendous help to God's children day by day. They talk to me of music rare, of anthems soft and low, of harps and violas and angel choirs. All these I could forego. But the music of the shepherd's voice, which won my wayward heart, is the only strain I ever heard with which I cannot part. Tremendous words. But the music of the shepherd's voice, which won my wayward heart, is the only strain I ever heard with which I cannot part. I trust if you're saved this morning and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your shepherd, that you will take Psalm 23 and not leave it to somebody who reads it when you're dying, but read it day by day for all the blessings that God has for you as a child of God in that psalm. And if you're not saved this morning, then it's time that you were saved. You do not know the day of your departure. You do not know when God says that your time is up. And what a tragedy to leave this scene of time and go from the church pew into a Christless eternity. They used to say that men went from a bar stool to hell. But you know, if it were told in Northern Ireland, possibly in the whole of Ireland, taking the Catholic Church and all into consideration, there's more people in hell tonight from the church pew than from the barstool. Why? Because they were full of religion, but they did not come and do what God said. Repent of their sins, call upon the name of the Lord, and be saved. And have that joy of knowing that their sins are forgiven, that they're ready to meet the Lord when he comes and calls. May God bless this word to our hearts this morning, please.